Well, good morning to you. Good to see you in the house of the Lord today. Appreciate so much you being here, and trust that you'll pray for us some. Pastor has been in the fourth general epistle now for several Sundays, and today I'm going to preach out of the seventh general epistle. There's seven of them. There's the book of James. There's 1 Peter, 2 Peter. And then you find 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. And then number seven is the little book of Jude. So turn there in your Bible. We're going to use our Bibles today. If you don't have your Bible with you, why not? You need to bring your Bible with you. Granddaddy used to say, go hoe the corn. Well, I didn't take a sling blade to the garden to hoe corn. You got to have a hoe. So when you go to church, bring your Bible with you. If you don't have one, look in the pew there behind in front of you, and you can see a Bible there, and you can turn to the little book of Jude. Not hard to find. Go to the last book in the New Testament, turn back one book, and you'll find yourself there in the book of Jude. If you're driving down the road and the sign says, bridge out, you don't really have to pray about what you need to do. Common sense tells you to turn around. So just as there are many physical signs with warnings like beware of the dog, or don't walk on the grass, or whatever that is out there. So we need to take heed to some of the warnings that are in the Word of God. I always feel like that the book of Jude is somewhat like a vestibule to the church. And Jude is a vestibule to the book of the Revelation, which talks about some things that are going to happen in the end time. Only 25 verses here in the book of Jude, packed full of spiritual dynamite. And we know that we know that the name Jude is kind of short for the name Judas. And since Judas Iscariot had did what he did, no one wanted to name their little boy Judas. So we know here that Jude was named Judas, but he shortened it up because he did not want to be related in any way to the Judas Iscariot that had denied the Lord Jesus Christ. Judas is a good word, doesn't have a bad meaning. It simply means praise or honored. And in naming a child in that century, the parent would call their child by a name that describes something special about the child and something that they wanted that child to accomplish in their life. So the parents of Judas Iscariot, they named their son this because they wanted their son to do something that would bring praise and honor to the glory of God. But we know here that he did not live up to the name that had been given unto him. There are seven Judases that are found in the scriptures. There is Judas Iscariot. There is Judas that is not Iscariot. There's Judas of Galilee. There's Judas of Thaddeus. Judas of Damascus. Judas Barsabas. And then there's Judas, the brother of James. Somebody has said he's the little brother of James. I don't know. But there are several Jameses that are mentioned in the scripture. But Jude is the only book in the Bible that deals with apostasy in its entirety. There's some other books that deal with apostasy, but this book deals with apostasy all the way somewhat from the beginning even unto the end. trust that you pray for us this morning. This cold weather's got my voice somewhat, bogged down. I'm going to read the first seven verses of the little book of Jude, and then I'm going to give you an outline of them, and we're going to look at this. And I realize I can't get all of this in this morning. And the pastor came in just the other day and he says, I want you to preach thus, thus, thus. And so maybe the Lord will let me come back and I can deal with these other verses in the days to come. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the coming salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not, and the angel which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. May God add His blessings to the reading of the Word of God. Let me just kind of go ahead and give you an outline of this entire chapter, and I'm going to only deal with 2 points this morning. First of all, there's the preamble to apostasy in verses 1 and 2. There's a problem of apostasy in verses 3 through 7. There's the pride of the apostate in verses 8 through 16. There is the predictions concerning apostate in verses 17 through 19. And then there's provisions against the apostasy in verses 20 through 25. Now, I know you wrote all of that down on your program there. And so just kind of keep that and bring it back with you in the Sundays to come. So I'll only point out that this morning to preach there on the preamble to the apostasy and the problem of the apostasy. Notice here in verse 1, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. You'll note here that Jude describes himself as a doulos, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he felt like it was more important for the people to remember his spiritual relationship rather than his physical relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Although James and Jude, they were brothers and they were half-brothers of the Lord Jesus Christ, but yet they do not mention that. Usually when a person is related in some way to somebody that's important, then they would let you know that, I'm so-and-so's cousin or brother or sister or whatever that is. So we know that back in the book of Matthew, chapter number 13, verse number 55, you don't have to turn there, but it simply says there, is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called called Mary, and his brother James, and Jose, and Simon, and Judas. So we know after that Mary had Jesus, which was virgin born, she had other children, she had some other boys, and she had some other girls. And so being a servant carries with it a couple of ideals. First of all, it talks about ownership, and then it talks about obedience. So we know ownership simply means this: being a slave, you no longer belong to yourself, but you belong to somebody else. And so Paul was saying here, or Jude was saying here, that I'm a slave to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there is the matter of obedience. A servant was responsible to their master and to be obedient to whatever that man required of them. So you'll notice says, I have a brother named James, and I'm not the half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why didn't they do that? When my dad was growing up, he was just a boy out in East Texas. He grew up with a country music singer by the name of George Jones. Everybody knows him. If you don't know him, you don't know country music. Well, my dad and his brother sat down with George when he was just a little boy and showed him how to play the guitar. My dad didn't mind telling anybody that he was kin to George Jones. And so one night down in Gainesville, there at the Civic Center, Dad says, "George is coming to the Civic Center. You want to go hear him sing?" And so, yeah, I want to go hear George sing. So we go down there, and the band that's kind of introducing themselves there before George comes in, they played, and somebody says, "Well, ain't George coming out?" And somebody came out, and Dad went out there to the bus, and he says, "Is George in here? They're looking for him to sing." He said, "No," said, "George can't come out. George is drunk." So Dad went in and got him. Brought him out, put a guitar in his hands, and he just seemed to sober up, and he played for the whole bunch. Well, anyhow, these people didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah as he claimed to be. And that did not take place until after his resurrection. And after the resurrection, they were convicted that Jesus was who he claimed to be. Now you'll notice there, there's three things it says there in verse number one. He says they are sanctified, they are preserved, and they are called. Let's look at those three things just for a moment in reverse order. They're called. Who are the called? Well, there's usually in our day and age, when somebody's called, we kind of refer to them maybe as a pastor or as a missionary or an evangelist, and we refer to them as the called. But in the New Testament, a call comes to every believer, every child of God. So every Christian has been called. We're called to serve in the light of a dark world that we're living in. And I believe a person that is called to God before they are saved, I believe personally there must be a conviction by the Holy Spirit of God that that person needs to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so after a call by our Lord, they are sanctified. So this call comes with a obedient faith to God, which means one has been set aside for service. In the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 2, verses 13 and 14, it says, "We're bound to give thanks always to God for your brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you. How did he call you? He called you by the preaching of the gospel to obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast, but it's a gift of God. And Romans 10:17 said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Come alive today, church. Amen. And so I think it makes itself clear that the same God who chose us also sets us apart by the Holy Spirit of God and called us by the gospel to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Yes. You may not understand how God was working that night or day whenever God brought conviction to your heart. But nevertheless, He came in, brought conviction to your heart. And if you were obedient to the Holy Spirit of God, maybe somewhere on a pew, maybe somewhere, I've heard of people getting saved out in a cornfield, maybe somewhere on the side of the road, maybe at an altar somewhere, that you came and invited the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart. So after you're saved, after you're sanctified, He says you are preserved. I'm afraid a lot of people got pickled. Preserved. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed. You are preserved until the day of redemption. So the word sealed here represents a mark of identification that you belong to Christ. How many of you ladies, maybe you men too, how many of y'all ever did any canning in an old-time canner? Okay. So you put that canner on the stove and you let it build up pressure at about, 10 pounds? And you let it stay there for about 30 minutes and then you take that thing and you cut the heat off on it, and then after a while when the pressure goes down, you take the lid off the canner, you reach in and you take those cans and you set them out on maybe a counter or somewhere. And after a while, maybe 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, what will that can do? It'll click. And when it clicks, you know that it's preserved, it's sealed. Amen. September the 15th, 1965, my lid clicked. I didn't understand what had happened that night, but I know a change had taken place in my life. I didn't understand exactly how a big God could move into a small person as me. And so I began to try to clean up the vocabulary that I had inherited for all those years. I didn't clean it all up fully until maybe later on, because I got saved on a Wednesday night and 2 weeks later I cussed a feller out. He made me mad and I did just what I'd always done in the flesh. But I felt bad after that. So a person can lose personal faith, but you can't lose preserving faith. Amen? There's been a few times I lost personal faith. I didn't see how God could really live inside me. I didn't know it at that time, but I was preserved in Christ Jesus. And nothing can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then there's the problem of apostasy in verses 3 down through verses number 7. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the coming salvation, he says, I wanted to write unto you concerning the ABCs of coming salvation. And the ABCs of common salvation is the death, the burial, and the resurrection, and the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, I'd like to write about that, but he says, it's needful for me to write unto you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. So what's going on here during Jude's day of giving out the gospel? Well, he says here, there's some apostasy that's creeping into the church. And you'll notice what he says here. He says there's some certain men that have crept in unaware, who were before of old ordained to condemnation. Ungodly men doing what? Turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. The word lasciviousness is simply a long, drawn-out word translated into our English language, which simply means gives to you a license to sin. A lot of Baptists has got that. The reason I talk to Baptists, I am a Baptist. But before I became a Baptist, I became a Christian. Amen. I will therefore put you in remembrance. Although you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people after 430 years in the land of Egypt, he saved the people, but afterwards he destroyed all from 21 years old, I believe it was, and upward. Now, were these people lost? Mm-mm. No. Because when he got down there to the Red Sea, you remember somebody said when he got down to the Red Sea, they brought the army in and they built pontoon bridge across there and they walked over on the other side. God parted that. And I always thought that maybe he parted that maybe to a place about like this aisle going down through here. But no, he didn't part it just for that length of space. To get probably 2 million plus across there like he did, he had to open that thing up several miles wide. Somebody even said 100 miles wide. I've always, if I'd have been with that bunch, I'd have been the one that wanted to walk on the edge over here, and you got the view of the first aquarium as you looked at that fish over there as you walked by. You say, preacher, you're just daydreaming. Leave me alone. I'm doing pretty good. The word apostasy, it's not found in the Bible. You can't find it in the Bible, but we get it from two English words that is found in the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 2, verses 2 and 3. It says, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. You'll notice there the word falling away. That's the two English words that we get our Hebrew word apostasia from. And so Paul says here, three things in writing to the church at Thessalonica that would take place before the coming of the day of the Lord. There would be a revolt against the faith. We're seeing that even in this present day that we are living in. We're seeing a revolt against the true faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved. If you desire faith, read the book of Hebrews, and it tells you there what faith is. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not yet seen. So these Egyptians, these Jews comes down to the Red Sea. God takes them, opens that up. They walk out on the other side. Pharaoh's army comes in behind them. And we know that Moses stretches his rod back out over that. And all that whole army was drowned there in the Red Sea. Now, I know it came out a few years ago that it wasn't a Red Sea, but it was a Reed Sea. And they walked across on ankle-deep water. Hallelujah, glory to God. If that be so, can you imagine God drowning a whole army in ankle-deep water? Okay. There's a revolt against the faith. There is a revelation of the man of sin, who's the Antichrist. And then there's the removing of the restrainer, which I believe is the Holy Spirit of God. So this falling away means a departure from the truth that was once delivered unto the saints. We know we've been dealing with the book of Acts in our Sunday school now for some time. Finishing up on that probably in the next week or two, we're going to come to a conclusion of the book of Acts. Acts deals with the Acts of the Apostles. Jude deals with the Acts of evil apostles. Acts deals with the deeds of good men of God. Jude deals with the evil men who are called and identified as apostate. Acts deals with the Holy Spirit of God, while Jude deals with the acts of the evil spirits that are upon this world. So as beloved, when I gave all diligence, I wanted to write unto you of the coming salvation. I wanted to write unto you concerning the death, the burial, and the resurrection, and the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. But because of the sin that has crept into the church, I needed to write unto you and tell you and warn you, beware of the apostasy that's coming into a church. I can just imagine the constraint that was up on old Jude at that time. I know I have known for several weeks now. Pastor come into my office and he says, are you available for this day? Ever what this day is? And I said, well, sure. And so he come in. Why'd you come in Wednesday, Thursday? He says, are you available this date? No, I turned, yeah. What about this date? Yeah. What about this date? You going anywhere during spring break? No, you take that date. Well, I've been struggling with this now for a long time. And I was in my study one day on Monday. I took off. I've got a closet there, and that whole closet, outside of what my wife puts in there concerning reefs on the door, it's nothing but sermons I've preached in 52 years. How many of you suppose is in there? I preached for a number of years. 5 and 6 times a week. I preached Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Usually I had a radio program on Saturday. Then I'd go to the nursing home on Sunday. I may have told you about I took this guy to the nursing home. He's just a young fella. I mean, he's just learning how to preach. And he's as nervous as a cat is on a hot tin roof. And he goes in there and he preaches a salvation sermon. And he tells them old folks, says, what you need to do is you need to get out here and knock on doors and tell people to come to the house of God. Some old feller sitting over there, about 90 year old, he said, but they won't let us out of here. You can lose personal faith, but you can't lose preserving faith. You're saved until the day of redemption. Now, my grandfather said he was saved. But in the latter days, my grandfather cursed and said some things that were not very Christ-like. I hope and pray I don't mess up in my latter days. I hope I don't lose personal faith. I hope and pray I don't do something that brings shame and disgrace to the cause of Christ. I'm saved once for all. I've been regenerated once for all. I received the gift of the Holy Spirit once for all. I was baptized by the Holy Spirit once and for all. And I've been sealed once and for all. I'm preserved in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit's a gift from God. The filling of the Spirit of God is a command from God. Be not drunk with wine, where's in excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. Now let me kind of illustrate this if I can. You ever visited somebody that no longer goes to church? They're at home and they just don't come out no more. And I remember one day I went into this man's house and he'd been faithful in church all these years. And I asked him, I says, was there ever a time in your life that you know that you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Oh yes, preacher, I remember that. And I followed the Lord in believer's baptism, which has nothing to do with the salvation part in here. He says, I know that I'm saved, but he says, I'm not saved now. What happened in that particular case? Here's a man that lost personal faith. He was saved, although he didn't know he was saved, probably, but he's saved. That's the reason we should contend for the faith. That's the reason we need to be in the house of God when the doors are open, that we might be able to have the fellowship together and that we might hear the Word of God. So certain men have crept in. Unknowing they have come in. The word ungodly is used some five times in this little 25 verses. And these ungodly men are turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, which is a license to sin. He says, I'll put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed them that believed not. And he goes on to say there in verse number 7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. There are five cities that were destroyed there when God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. He destroyed a little city named Adamah. He destroyed a city named Zoar. And another city, Zebulun, along with Sodom and Gomorrah. And all these cities were down next to what we call the Dead Sea today. And there's no life in the Dead Sea today because God made it that way. But One of these days, when God comes again, and He puts His feet upon the Mount of Olives, and that mountain splits in two, fresh water is going to go into the Dead Sea again. And there's going to be fish in the Dead Sea again. And I'm going to take my bass boat down there and my plugs, and I'm going fishing. You say, you think you're going? Well, Jesus done it. He even fed that bunch out there. He even fed them fish and hush puppies on the shore there when He came back. He cooked breakfast for them. So who knows what we're going to be able to do. Sodomy today is referred to as homosexuality. Adultery today is called free love. And a drunkard is just called an alcoholic. I was watching a program there, and some woman, her husband, or her daddy was, this guy said, "Your daddy was a drunk." Oh, she said, "Oh no," says, "he was just an alcoholic." Lord, help me get out of this. Jesus said, false prophets are coming. Paul said, false prophets are coming. Peter said, false prophets are coming. Jude says, false prophets are already here. And they're here. And a lot of churches today are having to deal with a lot of false prophets. They don't believe in the virgin birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. They don't believe in the verbal, inspired, infallible Word of God. I was watching a thing the other night on what's going on in some of our places. And a lot of so-called pastors are making merchandise of men's souls. And they could care less whether these people die or go to hell or not. I want to say here to you today, I think me and the pastor agree on this. We believe and we love you, and we want to see you come to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ if you have never been saved. That's the reason we give an opportunity to you. And maybe you're saved, but maybe you've lost personal faith. Maybe you don't feel like you're saved. Why don't you come get assurance this morning? I like an old song. I mean, maybe we can sing something. I come to the garden alone. While the... And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own, and the joy they share is in all my hands. Father in heaven, we're grateful for this day. I pray, God, that you would make us to be sensitive to the leadership of thy Holy Spirit. Lord, if there's some here today that's not saved, Lord, they would fit in, they might fit into this category of apostasy. Maybe they need to come and trust Christ. For that one that may be here today that has lost personal faith, they just don't feel saved anymore. This would be a great day for them to come and get that assurance. that they might know beyond a shadow of a doubt that when Jesus comes, if he comes in the rapture, that they'll be called out to meet the Lord in the air. I pray as they come to sing, I pray, God, that you'll speak to their hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Come ahead, brother. Do you love the Lord? Let's all stand.
Hey guys, Pastor Scotty Gerard here, and I just wanted to say thank you for joining us today. We really hope that this has been a resource that's helped you grow in your purpose for God, but also grow in His glory. We also want to extend an invitation to you to join us here in person at Harmony Grove. We are located at 1008 Town Creek School Road in Blairsville, Georgia. We would love for you to come be a part of our service, to be a part of our small groups. If you have children, we have children's classes on Wednesday night and on Sunday morning, and all this information can be found on our website. We'd also like to continue help you in your growth with Christ. If you have a question, maybe a prayer request, or just need to talk to somebody, you can contact us in the emails below in the description, or you can also contact us through our app and through our website, which are also found in the description below. Again, we hope this has been a blessing to you, because we know that you joining us today has been a great blessing to us. Thank you so much. God bless.